Hello, we're back with 10 minutes of Talmud, and today I thought we would look at mourning practices in ancient Israel. So we'll say our blessing and be on our way. Baruch Ata Adonai, Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kitshanu B'mitzvotav V'tzivanu La'asok B'divrei Torah. All right, and I just thought we'd do something different. We're in Yerushalmi, Moed Katan, chapter 3. And I'm just going to be sort of picking up in the middle here, Halakha 5, if you're in the Schottenstein, that's 16b6. I'm going to assume that everybody's familiar with the ideas of Shiva, which is the 7 days of mourning after the burial, and then Shloshim, which are the 30 days of mourning after the burial. During Shiva, you don't leave your house. People come to you. During Shloshim, you are still in a state of mourning, but you go back to work, but you don't attend parties or entertainments. You don't buy new clothes, something, things like that. And then you say Kaddish for the deceased for a year. But that's what we do today. Back in the day, back in Israel, things were a little more complicated, and this was one of the other reasons I thought I'd bring it up now, because you're going to hear echoes of Jesus' story in these practices, because people weren't just buried once. You could be buried once in a cave, and then after a while, let's say after a year or so, after all the flesh had fallen off your bones, the bones were kind of gathered up and put into an urn so that you could, be more efficiently stored. There were families who were rich who had big, big, big burial caves, which had sort of niches carved inside the cave on which people were laid out. Now, since you were buried in these things and they had to be opened more than once, right, because you have to open it every time you're putting a new body in there, you have to have a door on it that is secure enough to keep out animals, but mobile enough to allow the cave to be opened when you need it. And they had these very, very large, heavy stones that had a channel built for them so that they could roll aside to open the cave and then roll back into place to close it. All right. So we're going to pick up here where it talks about transporting a corpse for burial. Okay, and how that affects how you're going to count Shiva. Okay. Hare shemoli chinoto mimakom lamakom. Okay, regarding those who transport the corpse from one place to another for burial, so somebody dies in one place, you bury them somewhere else. That happens a lot these days as well, right? Families buy big plots and they end up dying far away, but they still want to use those plots, so they do. They transport the corpse. Kagon Elaine dekavrin bevet sharai, such as those who transport their dead from their hometowns to bury them in Beit Sharai. And here's the footnote. It was common for Jews in the diaspora to send their dead to Beit Sharai, which is Beit Sharim in Israel, for burial. Alternatively, several Rishonim, several medieval commentators, cite our Gemara specifying that it was possible that the people of Caesarea, who buried their dead in another city, because Caesarea did not possess the sanctity of the land of Israel. These Rishonim variously cite the names of the city as burial, of burial as Beit Kriah, Beit Biri, Beit Sha'an, Beit Sharin, instead of the name Beit Sharai given in our text. Now, Beit Sha'an is possibly a place that you visited when you go to Israel. It's way up there in the north, sort of near Tiberias. It's kind of on the north shore of Lake Tiberias, right up there. And it's one of the places where they have a beautiful 1,500-year-old mosaic floor from the synagogue. So, you know, maybe that was part of the local economy, was burying people there. Listen, people have to make a living somehow. Okay, so, Beit Tanei Tanai. There are those who teach this following teaching. Ilu shekan monim mi sheyetzei hameit, those relatives who remain here and don't attend the burial in the other town, count the 7 days of Shiva from the day when the deceased leave their city. The elu shesham monim mi sheyisatem hagolel. But those relatives who go to the burial, the new burial, right, the burial in the other place, where the deceased is finally buried, count the 7 days of Shiva from the day when the grave is sealed. Rabbi Simon b'shem Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. So here's what Rabbi Simon says in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Hakol holich achar gadol hamishpacha. Everything follows what the senior member, the leader of the family does, right? If he's starting to count Shiva from the time when the first burial is made, then y'all do that. And if he doesn't start until we make the second burial, then you do that. Rabbi Yaakov bar Acha b'shem Rabbi Asi. So Rabbi Yaakov says in the name of Rabbi Achi, bar Acha says in the name of Rabbi Asi, l'chumrin. So we follow that idea for strictness, okay? That the relatives follow the Shiva count of this, whoever is the leader of the family, only if his count is more stringent than theirs. Okay, so, you know, we have a little flexibility here. Mahu hum chumrin. So what do you mean? What is a stringency? Im haya gadol ha-mishpacha kan, if the senior member of the family was there and did not attend the burial, elu shekan monim, those relatives who remain count the 7 days of Shiva from when the deceased leaves town. All right, we're going to pick up here tomorrow. All right, talk to you then. Bye.